Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 63 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
That he sees a large amount of crystal meth, heroin, cash, and a handgun.
Three people from Ohio are facing trafficking charges in Moorhead.
A Magoffin County man is behind bars less than a month after being paroled.
Boyd County has asked the Department of Corrections to lift restrictions on housing state inmates.
Republican leaders say Senate Bill 166 can't pass without passing Senate Bill 1.
St. Clair is kicking off its annual giving campaign.
In sports, the Kentucky Wildcats head to the Sweet 16 on Thursday.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain showers overnight with a low of 45 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Three people from Ohio are facing trafficking charges after Moorhead police seized thousands of dollars in crystal meth, heroin, cash, and a handgun. The incident began Friday morning when an unknown woman called 911 from the Days Inn and said she was being threatened with a gun. MPD Captain Kyle Callahan says the caller said the man who threatened her left in a black Lincoln Navigator.
On the way, Officer Josh Eisen noticed the vehicle near Papa John's. So when he turned coming toward town, so he turned around to go stop the vehicle, and it had abruptly turned into Rutabaker's.
Callahan says 35-year-old Shiloh Cantrell fled the scene, but then got back into his car. Officer Eisen ordered Cantrell, 25-year-old Mark Armston Lockwood, and 30-year-old Jessica DeBar out of the car. When the car and two hotel rooms were searched, all three were charged with public intoxication and trafficking in a controlled substance.
A Magoffin County man released from prison in January after serving less than 7 years of a 20-year sentence for attempted murder is back behind bars. According to EKB-TV, 51-year-old Colonel Lewis Bolin of Salyersville was paroled January 19th. He had admitted to shooting a woman six times at a Gunlock residence in 2011. A Goat Mountain resident reported Bolin had come to her house twice, would sit in her living room, and not leave on Friday. While he was there, he allegedly kept asking for someone who had a handgun to sell, saying he had the cash to buy one. He also allegedly said he was going to kill a man who needed to die and that he was also going to burn his house down. Bolin was taken into custody and charged with trespassing, terroristic threatening, and a possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He remains lodged in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
Jurors began deliberating today after hearing final arguments in the trial of an Indianapolis man charged in the 2015 stabbing death of 6-year-old Woodford County boy Logan Timpton. Ronald Exontis, a former dialysis nurse, is charged with a crime that prosecutors described as simply brutal, while defense attorneys portrayed it as a product of a mental illness. According to LEX 18, jurors will have to come to a unanimous decision, but have several options. They can find Exontis not guilty, or guilty of murder by reason of insanity, guilty but mentally ill, or guilty of murder. They also will consider his guilt or innocence on two counts of second-degree assault and fourth-degree assault.
A Lexington man is dead after a shooting on Trent Circle yesterday. WKYT reports 28-year-old Shedrick Dixon showed up at St. Joseph East Hospital with life-threatening injuries while police were investigating reports of shots fired on Trent Circle. Lieutenant Andrew Daughtry of the Lexington Police Department says there were no victims found at the scene.
Some officers showed up. There was no one on the scene. They started looking around and knocking on some doors, found a couple of vehicles that had been hit and some shell casings.
Since passing marks Lexington's seventh confirmed homicide for 2018.
Pikeville-based Community Trust Bank is setting up a scholarship fund for the daughter of a murdered Pikeville police officer. Scotty Hamilton died last week in the line of duty. Over the weekend, his family laid him to rest. Hamilton leaves behind an infant daughter, Brinley, according to WKYT. Community Trust Bank has set up a savings account for her. To donate to the fund, visit any of the bank's 80 branch offices.
Cleanup has begun after two Norfolk Southern trains crashed head-on near Lisley Road in Scott County last night. According to WKYT, train crews told a witness that a northbound train ran through a switch where the tracks split, hitting a stopped southbound train head-on. 8 locomotives and more than 200 train cars were involved. 13 rail cars and the locomotives from both trains derailed. 4 people on board the trains were hurt, and railroad officials say all but one of them have been released from the hospital. 1 railroad worker is still being evaluated. Crews worked today to clean up diesel fuel and non-hazardous nut oil that spilled in the accident. The train caught fire after the wreck, but the flames have been put out. Officials say their next steps will be to move the derailed cars and repair the tracks.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Guns have a major economic impact in Kentucky. That's according to a new study from Wallet Hub. The study compared the economic impact of each state to determine which leans most heavily on the gun business, both directly for jobs and political contributions, as well as indirectly through ownership. Kentucky came in first in the gun prevalence category, meaning guns play a major part in the lives of Kentuckians. The study found that Kentucky was tied with Indiana and Minnesota for the highest national instant criminal background check system, background checks per capita. The gun prevalence category also took into account the gun ownership rate, gun ads for private buying and selling, and Google searches for gun sales. While overall Kentucky was categorized as first or most dependent in this category, the state came in 14th for gun ownership in the country. Kentucky ranked 7th for the most gun right contributions to congressional members per capita. As far as contributions from gun control groups, Kentucky politicians are on par with other states, coming in at 23rd.
Boyd County Detention Center officials want the state to lift restrictions on the number of state prisoners the jail can house. WMKY's Paul Hitchcock has the story.
Citing internal changes since an inmate-led fire and riot shut down the jail for weeks, Boyd County jail staff made the request to the State Department of Corrections earlier this month. In September, the DOC removed state prisoners who don't have local pending charges from the jail after inspectors toured the jail within a few weeks after the August 19th riot. According to the Daily Independent, the state prisoner revenue was estimated to fund about one-third of the Boyd County Jail's $3.6 million budget this fiscal year, which began on July 1st. Over the span of 3 months last fall, the county received about $175,000 less in state prisoner revenue than it anticipated. The DOC has not formally responded to the jail's request to resume housing more state prisoners. For WMKY News, I'm Paul Hitchcock.
Senate Republican leaders say they don't expect Senate Bill 66, the so-called phase-in bill, to pass if the pension reform bill, Senate Bill 1, is not passed. According to Spectrum News, the phase-in bill would allow local governments, school boards, and other governmental agencies, like mental health boards, to phase in much higher pension contributions that will be required to bail out the pension funds. Senate President Robert Stivers says SB 66 is a companion bill to SB 1.
You're phasing into a fixed dynamic, where if you don't have Senate Bill 1, you're just putting off the inevitable, and you are increasing your unfunded liability at the same time.
Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer agreed with Stivers, saying that you can't have one without the other.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions made a trip to Lexington Thursday to help the fight against opioid abuse. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, Sessions had a roundtable discussion with 10 families who have suffered from opioid abuse.
There was 1,400 fatal overdoses in Kentucky in 2016, 1,400. Kentucky had the fifth highest drug overdose rate in America. Nearly half of these deaths were as a result of fentanyl. One-third involved heroin, both considered opioids.
From 2012 to 2016, there were over 5,800 deaths due to drug overdoses. Sessions believes the death toll from drug overdose will rise from the 2016 numbers.
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center will be facing some changes in the next fiscal year. The severity of those changes depends solely on what happens as state lawmakers struggle to pass a budget. Moorhead State University President Jay Morgan says university administrators are looking at several options for what to do.
The history of it is, in the executive budget, the Folk Arts Center for $200,000 was line itemed out. It was taken out. The House restored it, but not as a specific program. And then we don't know where the Senate will be on their budget.
Morgan says if the money to fund the KFAC is cut, he hopes community partners will step forward to help the university keep the doors open.
The Foundation for St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead plans to kick off its annual community giving campaign in the next couple of weeks. Executive Director Tom Lewis says this year's theme is I Give. The 2017 campaign raised more than $230,000, and Lewis believes there are some key reasons why area residents, year in and year out, get behind the effort.
Going back to, I think, just the nature of St. Clair, how much St. Clair means to this region, to this community, economically, as a healthcare source, hopefully for some folks as a lifesaver. In some instances, really the only local source of certain types of medical care.
Lewis says the goal for the 2018 community campaign is to raise $250,000, which they hope to make happen by the end of June. Much of the money raised goes to helping St. Clair offset the cost of its charity care, which annually runs into the millions of dollars.
The Martin County Water District is raising rates. EKB News reports the Public Service Commission granted the utility a 26.5% annual revenue increase. The average monthly water bill in Martin County will raise about $11. In a press release, the Public Service Commission said the district would be unable to continue operating within 60 to 90 days without the increase, which would leave every customer without water, forcing people to abandon their homes and schools to close. Martin County Water must submit detailed monthly accounting updates to the PSC following the rate increase.
A new report shows that the bottled water industry is booming. Policy Director for Food and Water Watch Patty Lavera says about 64% of bottled water is actually tap water and costs 2,000 times more than tap water. According to Lavera, companies which advertise bottled water as safer than tap are misleading the American people.
It is much more the norm in other countries where you have to go buy bottled water because the safety systems aren't there for tap water. That's not the case in most American cities. That's pretty predatory to convince people they need to keep spending their hard-earned money to do that and undermining people's confidence in tap water.
Lavera says bottled water proportionally costs more than gasoline, and these companies are siphoning money from people who have a properly filtered tap setup. Taking a quick look at this week's weather forecast, tonight a 90% chance of showers with lows around 45. Tuesday, showers are likely before 7 a.m., cloudy with a high near 49. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday night, an 80% chance of rain, then a chance of snow, lows around 33 degrees. Wednesday, an 80% chance of rain and snow showers, highs near 40. Wednesday night, a chance of rain and snow showers, cloudy with a low around 23 degrees. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Current temperatures in the listening area are 65 degrees in Ashland, 62 degrees in Winchester, 62 degrees in Flemingsburg, 65 degrees in Inez, 62 degrees in Lexington, and 63 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
On our feature segment today, the Moorhead Community Soup Kitchen is reaping the rewards from a local food drive. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
Just feel overwhelmed and blessed and just totally, totally blessed. It's just awesome.
The Young Professionals Association had a successful donation drive this month, bringing in nearly 10,000 cans of food and close to $1,500 for the Moorhead Community Soup Kitchen. The soup kitchen opened its doors in September 2011 and has committed to helping those in need since.
We have always run totally volunteers, totally donations, and the Lord has always provided enough.
Lula Pico handles the day-to-day operations at the soup kitchen. She says the soup kitchen has been there for East Kentuckians in times of need.
We were fortunate enough to be here when the tornado hit. I know a lot of people remember that, and we were able to help those people, and that was just the biggest blessing ever was.
The donations will help the soup kitchen with its operations year-round, something YPA philanthropy chair Shayla Ring says is needed.
The soup kitchen operates solely on donations and volunteers, so to have this at this point in the year is vital to them because they get the bulk of their donations during Christmas. So the rest of the year they need to have food to supply because they are open every day and serve people every weekday throughout the year, and so this keeps them going.
As for the donation drive, Ring is proud that the community came together to help the kitchen.
We are looking at $1,000 to $1,500 that we were able to coordinate and gather through multiple organizations that participated throughout our community.
With an opportunity to help give back, many organizations and businesses around the community stepped in to help.
The top three donations were from, the highest was the Optimist Club, the second highest was Moorhead Fellowship Church of God, and also the American Legion. Those were the top three. And then our top monetary donation was Frontier Housing. They raised over $500.
Pico hopes to see more people volunteer to help the kitchen complete its mission of offering hot meals to those in need in the Moorhead and Rowan County areas, and says they are always accepting volunteers.
We take anybody that can volunteer any way at all. Some people may not be able to lift. If they're not, then we won't have them lift. Some people may not be able to stand for long periods. If they're not, then we'll have them do something they can do. You know, there's usually something that we can find for anybody to do that wants to come and help.
For more information, you can contact the Soup Kitchen at 606-784-9533 between the hours of 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 447 and 63 degrees on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson. And we're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Kentucky keeps dancing. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team is in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA basketball tournament for the seventh time in the last 9 years. The Wildcats advanced in the big dance by defeating 14-seed Buffalo on Saturday, 95-75. Hamidou Diallo's 22 points and 8 rebounds helped pace UK to victory, and Coach John Calipari says that's the performance he's been waiting to see from Diallo all season long.
The reason this has been the most rewarding season I've had in over 30, or however many I've done this, is because of what's happening for Hami. You saw what he is and what he's capable of today. All year, I was trying to learn about him and he was trying to learn about me. We were trying to figure this out. Everybody said, why are you starting him? Because he deserves it, I love him, and he's gonna do this. It just took us a long time.
Kentucky will now battle 8-seed Kansas State on Thursday at 9:15. The Louisville basketball team will look to keep its season going tomorrow when they welcome Mississippi State into the Yum Center for NIT action. The Cardinals advanced to the game by defeating Middle Tennessee 84-68 last night. Interim coach David Padgett calls it a good win for his team.
You know, obviously very happy with this win because that's a heck of a basketball team that had an incredible season. So, you know, hats off to them, absolutely. And just got a quick turnaround here. So we got about 48 hours before we got a Mississippi State team coming in here that'll be hungry. So good win, but we've got to move on to the next one.
Tuesday's winner will advance to the NIT semifinals in New York next week. The Moorhead State basketball staff is hitting the recruiting trail, looking to add a couple new players to next season's roster. The Eagles expect to return all 12 players from the current roster, which includes 6 freshmen. MSU has 2 scholarships to hand out, and Coach Preston Spradlin says he may explore the junior college ranks to find those players. if they're the right fit for his team.
I was really big on our freshmen this year. Now, we had a couple guys this year that probably were in roles that they weren't quite ready for, and that's what the off season's about. But, you know, junior college kids aren't out of the question, but we want to make sure that they're going to be the right ones. You know, I don't believe in bringing a junior college kid in that comes in as a junior or even a sophomore if I don't feel like they're going to be able to beat out the kids that we've got here.
MSU already has one commitment for next year, Mississippi High School guard Tata Strickland. Some coaching notes from the basketball world. In the college ranks, Memphis has agreed to a contract with former Tiger star Penny Hardaway. The current high school and AAU coach is expected to be introduced at a press conference tomorrow. Some reports suggest current Kentucky assistant coach Tony Barbie could be joining Hardaway's staff as an assistant. And in the NBA, Cleveland Cavaliers coach Tyronn Lue is stepping away from the team for health issues. Lue says he's been having chest pains and trouble sleeping. ESPN is reporting Lue has also been coughing up blood in the recent weeks. He is, however, expected to return to the team before the playoffs begin. Covington Catholic took home the KHSAA Boys Basketball State Championship yesterday after defeating Scott County 73-55. Senior C.J. Frederick dropped 32 points for Covcath in the title game. He calls winning the state championship a dream come true.
I mean, as a basketball player, this is the ultimate goal. And I'm so happy. This is probably one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life. Just when you get a team and one goal and you come together and do it, it's so special.
Covington Catholic is the third school in the state's history to win a boys basketball championship and a football state championship in the same school year, joining Trinity and Bowling Green. It's opening day for high school baseball and softball across the state of Kentucky. Both Round County teams get their seasons underway this evening. The Vikings baseball team starts its quest to repeat as regional champions on the road at Estill County at 6 o'clock. And as for the Round softball team, they get the season started at home against Montgomery County. That one also gets started at 6. The Cincinnati Reds are a little over a week away from opening up their 2018 season when they welcome Washington into Great American Ballpark next Thursday. Second baseman Scooter Jeanette has been nursing a shoulder injury during spring training, but is expected to play in tonight's game against the Cubs. He says he's now fully healthy and ready to get the season going.
I feel great. The most important thing is going into the season, physically 100%, obviously. So all the other things are great. My at-bats, I feel like I'm swinging at the right pitches. The timing out on defense is all there. So I'm just looking forward to getting in there and spring training to be over.
The Reds will be looking to improve on last year's 68-94 season. The Morehead State baseball team swept Belmont this weekend to move to 11-9 on the year. However, starting pitcher Jake Ziegelmeyer left the game in the third inning of Saturday's game with an injury. Coach Mike McGuire is holding out hope, though the injury is just minor.
You hate to see anybody go down, and we hope it's nothing serious, but you know, we weren't going to take any chances with Zig there. Some years you have injuries and some years you don't. We've been hit with it a little bit this year, but, you know, the next guy's got to be up and be ready to go.
MSU visits Alabama State on Tuesday to start a two-game series. The Morehead State softball team moved to 16-6 on the year after going 1-2 in the Eagle Classic over the weekend. Senior pitcher Chelsea McManaway got the win over Oakland yesterday to improve her record on the year to 11-2. Coach David Williams is pleased with how his ace has performed so far this season.
She's just constant. You know, she always does her job, and she never gets rattled. She does a really, really good job of staying composed. And, you know, it's a real calming presence in the circle for our defense. And, you know, they have confidence behind her that she's going to make good pitches and get outs, and she has confidence that they're going to make plays.
MSU is scheduled to battle number 15 Kentucky on Wednesday, but because of expected weather in the area this week, that could be in doubt. Finally, in sports, spring practice for the Round County football team got started today. Second-year head man Kelly Ford says with the kids now familiar with the system, it will allow his staff to work on the basics in spring ball.
We don't have to put the scheme in. The kids know the scheme. We just got to go back and, you know, get better tackling and running to the football, emphasize the little things that get us up and going. We're really excited about this group, especially this young group. They're going to be juniors now, and then we got that freshman class that's going to be sophomores that really has a lot of great talent.
Round County will be looking to improve on last year's 3-8 record. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts at Alabama State at 11 a.m. tomorrow and Wednesday. Softball welcomes UK at 3 p.m. on Wednesday as a final tune-up for OVC action this weekend against Austin Peay and Murray State. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks pulled back as a decline in Facebook pressured the technology sector. Wall Street also paid attention to Washington after a Twitter meltdown from President Trump. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a loss of 335.6 at 24,610.91. The S&P 500 was down 39.09 at 2712.92. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 137.74 at 7344.24. Facebook fell after reports said political analytics firm Cambridge Analytica was able to collect data on 50 million people, or I should say 50 million profiles of individuals without their consent. And Cambridge Analytica worked on Facebook ads with President Trump's campaign in 2016. Facebook has come out and actually stated that the people whose profiles were given to Cambridge Analytica actually consented to their profiles being given to this outside company. Shares of Facebook closed more than 10% below their all-time high set on February 1st and also dropped below their 50-day and 100-day moving averages. Investors also cast a wary eye on Washington following a Twitter tirade from Trump over the weekend. On Sunday morning, the president accused special counsel Robert Mueller of hitting or hiring hardened Democrats to probe alleged ties between his 2016 presidential campaign and Russia. Mueller is a Republican who has held appointments under Democratic and GOP presidents. The president also dismissed the idea of former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who was fired on Friday, having incriminating documents on him. In Fed news this week, the Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates on Wednesday after their two-day meeting concludes, with new Fed Chief Jerome Powell giving his first press conference. Market expectations for a March rate hike were at 94% as of Monday morning. And in corporate news, Rubbermaid parent company Newell Brands agreed to appoint four independent directors designated by activist investor Carl Icahn. Icahn owns almost 7% of Newell's shares. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.3% at $62.15 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,317 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 1.1%. And the Far East stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.9% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the lone winner today was Boeing, while your worst performers on the Dow were Caterpillar and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Signet Jewelers and Northrop Grumman, while the worst performers were Facebook and Newell Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.93 at $72.80, CSX down 23 cents at $56.69, AEP down 38 cents at $67.43, Marathon Petroleum down 47 cents at $69.21, AK Steel was down 18 cents at $4.95, and Community Trust Bank was unchanged at $47.20 a share. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking a look at your region's weather for tonight, a 90% chance of showers with lows around 45 degrees. Showers likely before 7 a.m. tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 49. An 80% chance of rain, then snow showers on Tuesday night and Wednesday, an 80% chance of rain and snow showers, high near 40 degrees. Currently here in Moorhead, it's 63 degrees. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition. Today we had help from Chuck Meraz, Ellen Barnett, Jacob Lindberg, Sean Delaney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.